it's necessary to always remember that Bhagavatam, or Srimad Bhagavatam, has been spoken, was spoken by Krishna, as presented in the beginning as well as the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, just as the statement says, Satyam Param Dhimahi. The ultimate truth, the absolute truth, is present in the Bhagavatam. That is what we have to always remember. That Srimad Bhagavatam is the embodiment of the absolute truth. Or that is why in the beginning it starts with Satyam Param Dhimahi. In the first verse itself is Satyam Param Dhimahi. And in the end also, Kasmai Yena Prabhasito Nodulam Jnana Pradipa Puram Tadrubaya Naradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tudrubinam. That this Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, He has come actually in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how did He present Him? Kasmai Yena Vibhasito Dumamala Jnana Pradipa Puram. That this knowledge, absolute knowledge of the Supreme Personality's position, Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord, is in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadrubena Janaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tadrubinam. That Krishna took the position as Lord Brahma Himself. He has come as Brahma and gave the Srimad Bhagavatam to Lord Brahma. And in turn, Krishna Himself has come as Sri Narada Maharshi. That is how Srimad Bhagavatam came to this world. That from Krishna Himself gave Srimad Bhagavatam to Brahma. Brahma gave in turn Srimad Bhagavatam to Sri Narada Maharshi, who is also, has Krishna has come in that form. That is how Bhagavatam says there. Tudruvana Janaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tudruvinam. And what happened after that? From Sri Narada Maharshi gave Srimad Bhagavatam to Vedavyasa Maharshi. And who was Vedavyasa Maharshi? Who is not different than Krishna. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam it says, Tudruvena Janaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tudruvinam. That Tudruvina, it is you only, that is Sudha Goswami, at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, while talking to the Shavanagarishi and all the other sages who were present in the Naimisharanyam at that time, Sudha Goswami pays his respects to Krishna in this way. In other words, Sudha Goswami realizes that it is Krishna who came in Brahma's form. It is Krishna who came in Srinarada Maharshi's form. It is Krishna who came in the form of Vedavyasa Maharshi. And after that, Yogi Indraya Tadalpanada Bhavadam says that, Yogi, who is that Yogi? The great personality, Sri Shugan or Sukadeva Goswami, who is nobody else than Krishna Himself. So Krishna has expanded into all these forms to bring Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. Tadrubena Janaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tadrubinam. So in every time, these different forms Krishna has taken to bring Srimad Bhagavatam to this world in different steps. And then after that, through Sukadeva Goswami or Sri Shugan, Yogi Indraya Dalpanada Bhagavadradaya Karunyada. Again, out of His causeless mercy, Sukadeva Goswami arrived on the scene of Parikshit Maharaj, to whom He gave Srimad Bhagavatam. And Tachuddham Vimalam Vishogamamalam Tachuddham Tashuddham Vishuddham Vimalam Ashogamamalam Satyam Param Dhimahim. And that Bhagavatam verse ends like that. That this pure knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, which as Krishna has provided, given to this world, through the succession of Brahma, Narada, and later on through Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, to this world came to us because of Krishna's causeless mercy and His decision to stay in this planet forever after, for future time to come. And that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is actually Krishna. While serving Srimad Bhagavatam or studying Srimad Bhagavatam or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, one has to keep this picture in mind all the time, that I am actually indirectly talking about Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who came to this world through Srimad Bhagavatam, through the circuitry of the Brahma, Narada and Sri Shugan and Parikshit Maharaj, like that. Tadrubena Janaradaya Munaya Krishnaya Tubhyam Namam. So like this Srimad Bhagavatam, which has come to us, we have to realize while reading through Srimad Bhagavatam that Bhagavatam is the absolute knowledge. Krishna is delivered to this world before His departure from this material world. Before He departed from this world, Krishna wanted people to take advantage of the knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is why Bhagavatam has to be read and read and so many times till we get understanding that this knowledge, what Krishna has released or revealed through the Srimad Bhagavatam, is for the yes, it says in the beginning itself. What does it say in the beginning? It says in the beginning that this knowledge in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says while talking about Sukadeva Goswami, Adititi Irshadam Tamundham, that this samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam, that because of the causeless mercy of Sukadeva Goswami to the human society, he has revealed this knowledge by which one can Adititi Irshadam Tamundham, this dark existence of this material world where one does not have any direction which way to go, and when one is controlled by the three modes of material nature, unable to escape from the conditioned life, that it is in them that he turns into Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see that Bhagavatam is not a literature which can be easily understood also by the conditioned soul. Conditioned souls has to put a lot of endeavor into it. And by the causeless mercy of Krishna and the great acharyas, one gets a glimpse of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord and also the transcendental message which Krishna has revealed through Srimad Bhagavatam. So generally, this is the story of the Bhagavatam, that we always have to keep that in behind our mind. That while in the Bhagavatam, there is also the reference to so many other things mentioned in relationship with spiritual life. Just like you can see that. What is the qualification to understand Srimad Bhagavatam? That is the first question. How do we understand Bhagavatam? And why is that? Sometimes we read Srimad Bhagavatam and nothing is changing as far as we are concerned. The reason for that, as it says in the Bhagavatam, that the mind, polluted mind or the contaminated mind, which is under the three modes of nature, is not able to catch up with the transcendental message. The transcendental knowledge is about beyond the mode of goodness. So generally in the human society is normally considered by creation itself, the human society is in the mode of passion and ignorance. That is our natural position. Demigods are in the mode of goodness. Therefore, they have a higher understanding of the Bhagavatam. They are able to understand Srimad Bhagavatam purely because they are in the mode of goodness. Whereas we, and compared to many other species who are created in the higher planetary systems, they do not have that difficulty like us. Because of this mode of passion and ignorance is so predominant in our consciousness that it becomes so difficult to come out of it and to taste this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is mentioned like that. About that, it is there. A reference of that is in the Padmapuranam. Padmapuranam says this particular thing. That what chance, it says there in the Padmapuranam, the reference is like this. What chance is God, the human species, able to understand Bhagavatam when the demigods even who are in the mood of goodness finds it hard to understand Bhagavatam? That's how Sri Narada Maharshi put the question up there. So from there you can see that unless one has come to the level of pure goodness, and it is the mode of goodness is so important, that it is difficult to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a nice, interesting story about that. That this incident happened when Krishna was on the planet, actually. Krishna was in Dwaraka, and most of the time when Krishna was in Dwaraka, Sri Narada Muni also used to be in Dwaraka. Wherever Krishna goes, Narada Muni follows him like a shadow. He is always with Krishna. So that was the system. So Sri Narada Maharshi was also present when Krishna was there in Dwaraka. So occasionally Krishna will go to Indraprastha to see his cousins Pandavas, and when he used to go there, at the same time Sri Narada Maharshi also used to go there. So you can see more or less when Krishna was there, Sri Narada Maharshi will be there, but when Krishna is away, Narada Muni also will go away from there to other places. Wherever Krishna was there, he used to go there. So in one occasion when Sri Narada Muni was in Dwaraka along with Krishna there, one artist came one day to see Krishna, and he has drawn a picture of Krishna in a canvas and wanted to produce it and show it to Krishna. So the same when the artist arrived, Sri Narada Maharshi was sitting with Krishna, and Krishna was talking to Sri Narada Maharshi about some topics which are of importance to Sri Narada Maharshi and Krishna. So when the conversation was going on, this artist came in with this picture and he wanted to present that to Krishna. So he presented this photo picture which he has drawn in the canvas to Krishna. Krishna looked at the picture and said to the artist, "It doesn't look like me," he said. And he handed over the picture back to him, to the artist. So the artist went back and he thought, he has looked at Krishna again and thought that maybe there is some difference in what he has drawn and what Krishna looked like in the picture. So he went back and made another picture and he brought it back again to show it to Krishna. So when he brought back this time, Krishna turned around and looked at it and said, "This again doesn't show anything like me," he said to the artist. So artist, when he looked, like every time he made the picture and showed it to Krishna, he always found that Krishna was different than what was drawn in the picture. So artist ultimately realized that I'm trying to do something which somewhere something seriously wrong. I don't know what is wrong, why I'm not able to get this picture right. So he decided that he better ask Sri Narada Maharshi about this. So he went to Sri Narada Maharshi and told Sri Narada Muni this problem, what is having on. Narada Muni told him that it's not your fault actually, why it's not coming right. The problem is, I'll give you a solution to this problem. You do that and everything will be alright, he said. So what did Narada Muni suggest to him? Narada Muni went and got from the market a first class mirror and gave it to this artist and told him, "You pack this up, take it to Krishna and give it to him. And that is the best solution," he said. "Because if you try to draw Krishna's picture, you will never get it right, no matter how hard you try." And artist realized it, got the message from that, what Narada Muni said. He packed up the mirror, took it to Krishna and gave the whole package to Krishna and said that, "I got this picture for you," he said. Krishna opened it up and looked at it himself there in the mirror and he said, "This is right," he said. "This is my right picture," he said. Why did he say that? Now that is what is more important. It's not that whether it is picture, canvas or mirror. That's not important. Important thing is to understand is that unless one's heart is so pure like that mirror, Krishna will not reflect in there. And because our hearts are so much impure by so much other lust, anger, greed, and so many material desires and so many other things what we talk about in this material life or our material consciousness, all these things is actually does not allow to Krishna to come out in our heart. That is why while reading Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is the same problem, that Krishna is there present in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but that's not coming to us. We are not feeling that experience of Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam because of the presence of the lower modes of nature. I mean, the number of enemies what we have or that is inside us is so unlimited. You can list them in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. It's listed everywhere what are these problems are inside. I mean, all these things are present. There is no purity. There is no good consciousness or the mode of goodness in us. And with the result is that we do not see Krishna anywhere, neither in the Krishna's deity's form nor in the Bhagavatam. We are unable to find that. Krishna is present there. And those great souls or great devotees of Krishna who have relished Srimad Bhagavatam, who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam and who have lived a life of a devotee in the line of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what they have come to the conclusion, that when it is clean like a mirror, that Srimad Bhagavatam will also manifest in the heart, exactly the same way like the artist has brought that mirror to Krishna. So this is one incident, what has happened in Dwaraka when Krishna was there. And it was Narada Muni's perception that it was so clear in his head that unless one is pure like a mirror, it is not possible to see Krishna in the proper form and to reflect Krishna in the same way. So like this, it is mentioned there, Yadha yadhalpa parimrujyade saukmal punya ghada shravana abhidani. Ekadasha skandam, Krishna says to Uddhava that when should you listen Srimad Bhagavatam? Yadha yadhalpa parimrujyade saukmal punya ghada shravana abhidani. As and when you are finding that your mind is under the lower modes of nature, Krishna says, Yadha yadhalpa parimrujyade saukmal punya ghada shravana abhidani. that you should continuously hear about me. That is the only solution how you can come out of the lower modes of nature. Because while discussing the topic of the three modes of nature, three modes of material nature, Uddhava asked Krishna, what is the process by which I can come out of the lower modes of nature? Krishna says, Yadha yadhalpa parimrijyade sau malpunya gadha shravana abhidhane tadha tadha pashyadi vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuntam. As much as this is done, this process of purifying by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is done, immediately the result will be tadha tadha pashyari. Immediately you can start seeing vastu sushmam, that sushmam. Sushmam means such a subtle thing, what is inside. Tadha tadha pashyari. Immediately you can start seeing vastu sushmam chakshuddivai anjana samprayuktam. Exactly like it, when the cataract operation is performed, or when you have performed the cleaning up your eye with an operation which has got cataract, after the cataract operation how you see the vision improves, exactly the same way Krishna says that by hearing about Krishna all the time, one will achieve that purity, or one will achieve that purification, the level of purification required. Otherwise there is no possibility. Simply thinking that, oh, I am always in the mood of goodness and walking around is no good. You are not in the mood of goodness. The mood of goodness, what actually Krishna is talking about, is so high level of purification necessary when the mind is boiling with so many so many ideas and material consciousness. So that is how it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we were talking about last Sunday, talking about Lord Varaha's appearance day, Lord Varaha's appearance. And actually, Lord Varaha, as we have seen, that appeared with an intention or with a specific purpose, which I also mentioned about, that Varaha's appearance was only one thing, that to establish the Yajna Swarupam, or the sacrificial side of the Vedic way of thinking. That we are, the human society is generally restricted to our life, our rule, our lifestyle in this world, or our way of maintaining ourselves in this world, is actually controlled by the Vedic rules and regulations in the Vedic literature. And these rules and regulations insist that we live within certain parameters. There is a way of how to live in this world. And previously you can see, I mentioned before this, that right up to the Swayambhuva Manu's time in the history, the whole Vedic theology was so strong that people right up to Swayambhuva Manu simply were looking forward to going back to the spiritual world. As soon as they were given this life in this world, their experiences and their activities were such that they wanted to go back to the spiritual world. Swayambhuva Manu's life is showing, up to Swayambhuva Manu's lifetime, this is what the position was. That is, in other words, they were situated in Jnana Nishtha or in the Brahma Nishtha. They were fixed up so much in the spiritual platform, they did not have a second thought about leading a material life in this world, that they wanted to get back to the spiritual world. It is only from the time of Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa Devi that this life has moved from Jnana Nishtha to Karma Nishtha. That means, if one is not living according to the spiritual knowledge that's been revealed in the Vedic literature, at least one should act according to the instructions of the Vedic literature. This is what is expected of us. That if we are not living a life according to the developing that spiritual knowledge in the Vedic literature, at least one should act in this world within the framework of the rules and regulations for the Vedic literature. That is known as Karma Nishtha. Karma Nishtha means you perform activities in such a way that you don't transgress the rules fixed by the Lord, and in the form of sacrifices, one does not unnecessarily exploit the material world, exploit other living entities, material nature and all that. This is what is expected. So that is the law book for the human society. If one is not in Jnana Nishtha, at least one should be in Karma Nishtha. So, but imagine that most of the society today is neither in Jnana Nishtha nor in Karma Nishtha. In other words, our way of life is totally outside the purview of Vedic way of life. So no matter how much we talk about it, about Vedic culture, this is the reality, that our lifestyle and our material life is so much out of it that it makes to the point that, as is mentioned there, Swayambhuva Manu's lifetime, Swayambhuva Manu decided to perform the sacrifices and Shavarupa Devi, and this we will come to it later. That there is another, today we will talk about the Varaha's appearance and why it was so important and how Lord Varaha and Hiranyaksha fought each other. That is the topic what we'll talk today. But Lord Hiranyaksha and Lord Varaha, when they were fighting together in this condition, that Hiranyaksha was eventually killed by Lord Varaha, and Lord Varaha's form was observed by the sages, and the sages glorified that form. That comes in later. So the important thing to remember is that the Jnananishtha or the Karmanishtha is actually required. That is what is expected of us. But in this age of Kali particularly, we have so much deviated from this principles of spiritual life, principles of that. For often we find, when you talk to people, you will find they get this understanding that, oh, how do I maintain myself? This will be the question. Maintenance is not refused, but maintenance is not denied. But at the same time, Krishna has drawn up certain way of maintaining the human society in this world so that they do not get implicated in the loss of karma. That is the principle behind it. But unfortunately, those things are not what to talk about karmanishtha. There is no belief in karma itself. So there is a possibility of any karmanishtha happening. Anyway, the point was that Varaha had fought this war. So, in the olden days, generally talking about this, that Swayambhu Manu and Shatrughna Devi, after the planet Earth was missing, that is when the search started. Brahma looked down and saw the planet was missing. And he has instructed Swayambhu Manu and Shatrughna to rule the planet. That is how they started, came and looked for the planet and they couldn't find it. So they reported back, and then Brahma's prayer started and Lord Varaha appeared from his nostrils. So when Varaha appeared, he went into the water, and from there he picked up the earth planet. So when he picked up the earth planet, he had started coming up with that earth planet. And when he started coming up with the earth planet to the top, there was a how did he pick up that earth planet? Abhyuttaranmadharam Dashanagra Lagna Mustang Gurangida Ivadiga Pivaralma Udhudhagora Salilanjaladevarunjan Kridavaraha Vabudishwara Pahirogal. That when Varaha was lifting this earth planet, Abhyamaradharam Dashanagra Lagna Mustangurangira Ivadhiga Pivaralpam, that he lifted the earth planet from the water on his tusk. And this Varahas have generally a nature of hitting the earth with their tusk. That is how they collect their food. If you read the story of how the Varahas' lifestyle is, normally they go into the river beds and places like that, and these Varahas or boars, what they do is with their tusk, they hit the earth, they dig the earth like a digger, they dig it. And from there, while digging the earth, from underneath, they get what is mustangurangira. It's a kind of a fruit which they relish very much. It's like a grass which has got its roots on which they have got this small sized potato like thing. Mustangurangida iva adhika pivaralpam. So they enjoy this, eating this kind of fruits, this kind of things from the ground. So when they eat that, sometime one of this mustangurangida, it will come and stays on their tusk. And when Lord Varaha lifted this earth planet, that is how he looked. So from that you can imagine what is the size of Varaha at that time. Varaha's appearance is so important that Varaha carried the whole earthly planet into such a small form, like a small fruit on his tusk it was resting. And when Varaha came up from the ground and he was carrying this, and he stood like that for some time waiting for Hiranyaksha to come. So now we have to think a few things at this point. When Varaha appeared, this Varaha Avataram comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning itself. It's generally, you can see it's in the third canto itself, in the 13th chapter it has appeared. So many of the scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam, when they study Bhagavatam, when they come to Varaha's appearance, they are very much they feel that Krishna has appeared so long ago in this form, And they appeared, and he lifted this whole earthly planet on his tusk in this Varaha form. So it is something and a great amazement for them, because in the olden days, devotees, when they go to temple, olden days, I'm not saying nowadays, in the olden days, when they went to the temple, many of them visited all these big, big temples like Lord Jagannath's temple in Jagannath Puri, or Dwarakadish temple in Dwaraka, or Tirupati, the temples in Tirupati and Srirangam, and so many big places. Devotees go there normally, and when they go there, generally they will spend a few days there, because in the olden days the lifestyle was different. That is one thing we have to remember. Most of them were engaged in the agriculture. I am talking about normal people who lived in the villages and who lived in the small towns. They have a natural attachment to these deities in these big temples. So they will go there and spend a few days every time when they go. And when they come back, they will have that fond memories in their mind of visiting the temple and spending that few nice days in the temple, taking the prasadam, attending the programs in the temple, and fortunate to see the deity all the time. So that is there is a relationship between those devotees. It's not about those devotees who are living in Jagannath Puri or in Dwaraka or in Tirupati. I'm not talking about them. For them, it is a different issue altogether. Because they live there all the time, the attachment is not that strong. Because they are always taking it for granted. Oh, I'm living in Jagannath Puri, what does it matter? The whole world comes to see me here. That's how they think about it. See, yes, yes. So for them, it mostly becomes a matter of ritual. They make their living, they attend the temple every day. Once in a way, they had a darshan. And they think that Jagannath is always there, or Dwarakadish is always there, or Venkatachalapathi is always there, why should I bother? This is how they think about it. But that is not the feeling of those who come from the villages and the towns to the temple. When they come, they don't get that such a frequent opportunity. They get once, twice or thrice a year to come to the temple. So when they come, normally they will stay about 10, 12 days mostly at the temples, to spend sufficient time to recharge or to develop that attachment to the deity again. This is how the culture existed. Spiritual culture is so nice that the devotee's attachment to the Lord in all circumstances, under all conditions. They continued their material activities of farming just for maintenance and sustenance in this world. But apart from that, most of the human population in this way of life were so attached to developing Krishna consciousness that they considered this opportunity in their life as very, very important. So after 12 days or so, when they go back home after their visit to the temple, they have in their mind a clear breaking of feeling from Krishna, that they are leaving him and they are going away. And because they are away from Krishna for the rest of the few months, they are away. In their heart, they are always having that memory. The memory is so strong being away from Krishna. That is also nice, because if you are too close always, you will not remember Krishna. You will take things for granted. But when you go away from Krishna for a few days, you start thinking about him all the time. That, oh, I have these few nice days with Krishna in the temple. So that memory comes back. And they come back again. Next time when they come back, they are eager to see when will the next harvest is over. When will I get my sufficient money to pull together so I can go with the family to see to the deities in Jagannath Puri or Dwaraka or wherever it is. So that is how the life was there in the villages and in the small towns. People lived a life like that. But somehow or the other, when these, so 12 days has something importance in that way. They generally spend, sometimes people still go and spend 3 days, depending on their conveniences, or depending on, or sometimes they'll spend 7 days, sometimes they'll spend 12 days. Sometimes people spend 41 days. For example, sometimes some devotees will feel either got ill or sick so badly that they have prayed to Krishna that if somehow or the other you get me back to my normal life, because health is so important, whether you are in material life or spiritual life. Without health, you can't do anything. So, so these devotees will pray to Krishna like this, that somehow or the other, if you can pull me out of my distress, let me come to and see you in the next time. So as an obligation, they felt to spend a few more days. So sometimes they'll spend more time at the temple. So it varies again. So one instance, one devotee thought about this, and he was desiring, he came to the temple in a terribly distressed condition. And when he was so distressed that he thought to himself, that how do I serve Krishna? And his answer was that because he was a learned person, he decided to serve Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his conclusion, that this is what Krishna wants me to do. Let me take Srimad Bhagavatam in my hand and let me start reading Srimad Bhagavatam, summarize it and hand over to Krishna. That is what he thought in his mind. Because for him, Krishna is a reality. He is not something he is suspecting. Does Krishna exist? Or is Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead? All these questions doesn't arise. They are simple people, simple heart, very easy to accept things in their heart. Not confused and complicated like our mind is. There is no complications in their heart. It is so simple, mode of goodness, and easy to accept and adapt to Krishna consciousness. So this particular devotee, he came and he was summarizing every day a few chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when he came to third canto, by then 12 days have gone. He has finished the 12 days, first 12 days. And his distress hasn't minimized, not a little bit. He was in severe pain in his body and experiencing terrible agony because of that. He couldn't do anything about it. And he was thinking that now 12 days have gone, I spent here. I have reached Lord Varaha's appearance. This is where I am now. So on the 12th day, when he left the temple, he addressed to Krishna and recited this verse. Abhyuttaram madadharam dashanagralagnam mustangurangida ivadhigabhivaralpam udhudha ghorasalilajjalathe rudanjan krida varaha vabudishwara vahirogal. That address to Lord Varaha, that exactly what you have done, I have mentioned to you what you have done, relieve me from my distress. He just mentioned to Krishna in this way. Krishna, knowing well all these things, what this devotee was trying to talk about Varaha, Krishna was sitting there, he has come fully prepared and he was listening to it. And if Krishna listened to that, what was the thoughts that was going through Krishna's mind? That is also very interesting. Krishna is sitting there like a little boy. He's only about 3 or 4 years old. And he's hearing about all his activities in the past, what he has done. Small children, they like to hear that. When you tell them of their heroic activities, they like it. Krishna is also like that. Krishna likes to hear what he did in his past, active past lifetimes. Only difference is Krishna is aware of everything. And human society, our children are not aware of anything. So anyway, our devotee, he was glorifying Krishna like this, that he lifted this earthly planet on his tusk and brought it up and he stood there. Krishna thought himself, even when came as Krishna, I only lifted Govardhan Hill, which was a small hill, compared to this whole planet. This is what was the thought going through Krishna's head. Krishna says, Krishna was in tremendous anxiety and he was in amazement that, imagine lifting this whole planet on my tusk. And Krishna expressed this desire, this fearful mood to that devotee, that how could one lift the whole planet? Even when I was living in Vrindavan, I have only lifted the Govardhan Hill. That's all I could lift, maximum I have lifted. But here we are now talking about the whole planet lifting on my tusk. Krishna mentioned this to that devotee and the devotee smiled. He couldn't say anything further after that. And he closed the book and he went back on that day. Next day, when he came back, he wanted to continue from there. This was the last verse on the 12th day, he spoke to Krishna. Krishna heard that, went back into the temple room, into the deity room. And the first thing he told Radharani was this, that did you know what my devotee has told me this? That he told me that in my last life, as he said, that I had to lift the whole planet, you know. He told Radharani like this. Radharani said, I don't know what all you have done in your past life, she said to him. So Krishna is like that. Krishna also enjoys all these pastimes of different incarnations when he appeared. And Varaha incarnation is specifically interesting from this point of view, that Krishna wondered sometimes how he lifted this earthly planet. Because in Krishna's body, Krishna says, when I came as Krishna, although I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I had the only problem of lifting the Govardhan Hill. That was what maximum I have done, but nothing like lifting the whole planet. So it says that next thing is what the next day when he walked in, about 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, He wanted to continue his story of Hiranyaksha. So he wanted to introduce Hiranyaksha to Varaha. That is the next thing what he did. Varaha is standing there with this earthly planet on his tusk, and he is bringing Hiranyaksha onto that scene. And that's the next words. Hiranyaksham tavad varada bhavadanveshanavaram charandam samvarte payasanijajangha parinideyam bhaval bhakto gatvam kabadavadudhir narada muni shanairube nandan shanairuje nandan danujamavi nindam stavabalam. Hiranyaksham tavad varada bhavadanveshanavaram. Hiranyaksha is coming there inquiring, who is this person who has stolen my earth, who has stolen my planet, all stolen my Bhumidevi, who has taken Bhumidevi away from here. It is in that mood that Hiranyaksha has come, and that way. Hiranyaksham tavad varada bhavadanveshanavaram. He is continuously inquiring, who is after this. Charandam samvarte payasi nijajangha parimideyam bhaval bhakto gatvam kapadamadudhir narada munishanairu jenandan danujam avirindam stavabalam. Srinarada Maharshi is the person who actually introduces Hiranyaksha to Lord Varaha. That he is the person who has done that. Why did Narada Muni do that? Actually, what happened was, when Hiranyaksha was challenging, looking for the person who stole the earthly planet, first thing what he did was, he went to Varuna. And he challenged Varuna for a fight. That's what first thing he did. He told Varuna that, I am performing a Rajasuya sacrifice and I want to make sure that everything is under my control. So in that mood, he goes to him. So when he went to Varuna, Varuna said to him, look, I am not in a position to fight at the moment because I am gone too old, and plus I have no interest anymore to fighting with anybody. So like that, slowly he avoided fighting with Hiranyaksha. So Varuna told Hiranyaksha, if you want to fight someone, I will introduce you to somebody, he said. Hiranyaksha wanted to know, who is it? They are ready to fight with me. So Varuna said to Hiranyaksha, the person whom you have to fight is not easily traceable. You can't find him. But he is in the form of an animal. But if you can fight with him, he has taken the Maya form, or with the help of support of Maya, he has taken that form in this world and he has stolen the earth planet. But I will introduce you to somebody who will show you how to find him. And that is how Varuna introduced Hiranyaksha to Sri Narada Muni. So Narada Muni was introduced to Hiranyaksha. Narada Muni met Hiranyaksha and found out that Hiranyaksha wants to meet. In fact, this was an arrangement by Krishna himself, that he arranged Narada Muni should bring Hiranyaksha to Varaha form, towards Varaha to fight. So Sri Narada Maharshi, it is in that mood, he comes to Hiranyaksha and see him there. And when he saw Hiranyaksha, the first thing he did was, he started glorifying Hiranyaksha. He said to Hiranyaksha that, you are such a powerful personality. And he started ridiculing Krishna. This is how Narada Muni spoke there. It says here that Narada Muni, when he wanted to say that, bhaval bhakto gatvam kapadavadudhir Narada Muni shanai ruje nandan dhanijamavinindam stavabalam, that he glorified his strength, glorified the strength of Hiranyaksha. Why? If you have praised Krishna in that time in the form of Varaha, probably Hiranyaksha will say at that time, look, I am not a person who fights with all these animals and all that. And he may run away. Then the purpose is not served. The intention was that Hiranyaksha should fight with Varaha. So to bring that consciousness in Hiranyaksha, that fighting spirit in Hiranyaksha, Srinarayana Maharshi glorifies Hiranyaksha at that time and ridicules Varaha in front and ridicules Varaha to Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha heard that, and Hiranyaksha's anger was piling up because he said, this Varaha has stolen your earth planet and he is not going to care for you. It was at that time that Hiranyaksha lost his control and he started asking Narada Muni, where is this Varaha you are talking about? Narada Muni told him, don't make too much noise. After all, it's a Varaham, it's an animal. And some of these wild boar, if you make too much noise, they will run away and you will not be able to find him. You won't even get a smell of him anymore. So be quiet about it. And that's why the words used here are, Samaya vi Vishnur हरदि भवदीयं वसुमतिं प्रभो कष्टं कष्टं किमिदमिति तेनाभिगदिदाः नदं क्वासौ क्वासा विदिसमुनिना दर्शिरपदो भवन्तं सम्प्राभद्धरणिधरमुद्यन्नौदगाल् says there that adan kwasa kwasau, where is he, and he was loudly shouting. Hiranyaksha was shouting so loudly that he wanted to find out where Varaha was. And the word used is nadam swasau kwasau vini samunina darshita vadom. Sri Narada Maharshi showed the way to Hiranyaksha. Muninam. Muninam means one who practices two words. Meaning as not for the word muninam. Muninam means one who practices silence or one who is very thoughtful. Both meanings are there for the word muni. So here, this particular meaning, here Sri Narada Maharshi is referred to as muninam. Munina on the understanding that he wanted Varaha, the Hiranyaksha should be very, very quiet. Not to, so that he can bring him to Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha can be brought towards Varaha. So he told him, don't make too much noise, quietly go this way, and showed him the way how to go towards Varaha. And when they met with each other, that is where the whole fun starts. That when Varaha met Hiranyaksha, Hiranyaksha could not wait enough time, and it started with talking to each other. Varaha was challenged by Hiranyaksha for stealing the earthly planet. And at that time it says there, Samayami Vishnu Harani Bhavadiyam Vasumadim. Vasumadim means earth. And Narada Muni is saying to Hiranyaksha, your earthly planet, look at, Vishnu has stolen. That is how Narada Muni presented to Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha and Krishna is thinking, listening to this, thinking that my earthly planet, Hiranyaksha has stolen. That is how Krishna took it. And Hiranyaksha has took it. Hiranyaksha was told by Narada Muni that your earthly planet, Krishna has stolen. And this way, he was confusing, Sri Narada Maharshi was confusing Hiranyaksha. Hiranyaksha was getting very charged up with that. Samayamim Vishnu Bharadi Bhavadiyam Vasumadim Prabho Kashtam Kashtam. That Kashtam Kashtam, that way he is explaining that what a sad situation that has happened. That earthly planet which you have put underneath the Garbhalaga ocean, it has come up now and he has brought it up. Vishnu has brought it up. In that way he said, and then the argument started, fighting started. And from the first it was verbal fighting. Verbal fighting got very worse, with the result was that eventually it became the physical fight. So when the physical fight happened, the first thing what Hiranyaksha did was, he punched Varaha on his chest. Very powerfully he punched. Not in a casual way. It was so strong, the punch, that this memory, Krishna never forgotten, that punches from Hiranyaksha. And that, where is the proof? You may ask, how do you know that Krishna has not forgotten? Proof is there in the Bhagavatam. You can take Bhagavatam and read it. It will find there. After many, many appearances of Krishna in this planet, later on, after several millenniums, Krishna came to this world in the form of Vamana. We know the story of Vamana Dev. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find the story of Vamana Dev. When Vamana Dev came here, Vamana Dev, before he performs the... what was the appearance of Vamana Dev? Intention was to get the heavenly planets back from the demons and hand it over to the demigods. That's why Vamana Dev appeared. And Mahavali, who was actually performing this great sacrifice in the banks of the river Narmada, on the northern side of the Narmada river, that is where Mahabali was performing the hundreds of Ashwamedha sacrifices. He performed there with the presence of the Shukracharya. Shukracharya was acting as the priest, and Mahabali was performing the sacrifices. Vamana Dev, Lord Vamana, in the form of a brahmachari, nicely dressed up as a brahmachari. And the brahmachari's description is also there in the Bhagavatam, how he looked like as that brahmachari, with a glowing effulgence, carrying the umbrella, and the 2-inch thick yajnopavidam across his shoulders, and that nicely worn dhoti as a brahmachari, like a garment, and holding this umbrella and a small water pot in the hand and a stick, he came to see Mahabali. So when he came to see Mahabali, what happened was, Mahabali wanted to find... Mahabali did not understand who has come to see me. First he thought, is this the sun god himself has come? Because of the Brahmacharya is glowing effulgence, was so powerful. Mahabali didn't know at first that it was Krishna has taken this form of Vamana and come to beg the earth. This story is known to everybody. But what is interesting there is, when Vamanadev came there, Vamanadev looked at Mahabali and was thinking, how should I make Mahabali to fall from this position? That he is a great personality, Mahabali. He is not an ordinary person. So Mahabali was prompted to ask from within, what can I offer you? What are you looking for? And in return to that, Lord Vamanadev asked, Vamanamurti told Mahabali, all I am looking for is 3 feet of land. This is how he answered Vamanamurti. Vamanamurti asked Mahabali, and Mahabali's answer was like that. 3 feet of land, that's what he wanted. So, Mahabali got a little bit shaken by this reply, because to come and ask Mahabali 3 feet of land is somewhat a little bit disrespectful for him, because who is Mahabali? Mahabali is the emperor of the whole universe at that time. All the 14 planetary systems is under his control. And to go and ask Mahabali for 3 feet of land was not something which was not appropriate. And Mahabali felt at that point that maybe I should tell this Brahmachari who I am. And it is at that point that Mahabali told Vamanamurti that if you do not know what to ask Mahabali, please, have you got your father and mother at home? He said to Vamanamurti, have you got other relatives? Please go and talk to them and find out what one should ask when he meets Mahabali. What should one ask him? As soon as these words came out from Mahabali's mouth, Vamanamurti decided through these very words, I will take away the whole planet from him, out of his hands. Whole universe will be out of Mahabali's control. And that's what he did. So at that time, there was a conversation between Vamanamurti and Mahabali. There is a conversation. In the Bhagavatam, you can read that, in the 8th canto. So in that conversation, Vamanamurti says to Mahabali, glorifies him, how do you call it, flatters him so high that he tells Mahabali, I'm not at all surprised that you have asked this question to me. Why? Because you come from that family. Which is that family? Who are the great personalities who are born in that family? Mahabali's family tradition, Krishna is glorifying at that time. He says, who appeared in that family? Hiranyakashipu. Who else appeared? Prahlada. And who else? Hiranyaksha. They are all the personalities who appeared in that family. Now, Mahabali's grandfather was Prahlada. Prahlada's father was Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's brother was Hiranyaksha. So this is that family relationship between Mahabali and Hiranyaksha. So there is a relationship, you can see, from Mahabali's, more or less like a great-grandfather, is Hiranyaksha. So Vamanamurti said to Mahabali, I'm not surprised at all that you have raised this question, because you come from the family of where Hiranyaksha appeared, isn't it? He said. And you know what the thing Vamanamurti said to Mahabali? Vamanamurti said to Mahabali, you know the day when Hiranyaksha fought with Vishnu, the punch he had given that day, Vishnu hasn't forgotten yet. He is still feeling that, how strong that punches were. In other words, Vamanamurti didn't say, I am the same Vishnu who has come now. He didn't reveal that to Mahabali. But he did tell him that he still remembers that punches, what you have given to him at the time when you went to see him as Varaha and he stood the earthly planet. So this is how Krishna's history goes. It has no beginning, it has no end. Unlike our history, which starts today, finishes in a few years, then that's it. But Krishna's history is different. It goes into millenniums. And Krishna, who is all conscious of all his activities in different incarnations, it is a pleasure to the devotee when he hears that Krishna reminded Mahabali that so many millenniums ago, when your great-grandfather punched me in the form when I came there as Varaha, that pain hasn't gone away yet. I'm still enjoying that pain. That is how Krishna puts it to Mahabali. So this is how it was, that eventually the fight went on between Varaha and Varahamurti, between Varaha and Hiranyaksha, and ultimately Varaha had no other option except to beat him to death. Karena karma mulehan, that is how it says in the Bhagavatam, that Varahamurti, after taking a few punches with his left hand, gave him a smack on right behind his ears. The result was that with that one stroke, Varahamurti sent Hiranyaksha back to the spiritual world. Then Hiranyaksha rolled around a few times, eventually fell down, vomited blood and died there. So when Hiranyaksha died, at that point, all the great sages who were present in the heavenly planets, they came down to see the scene. They praised Hiranyaksha for that. And immediately they started seeing Krishna's beautiful form there in a different form. And they could, at that time, they could understand what this incarnation is. And this is that incarnation. It says there that all the different parts of Krishna, or that Varaha's body, represented nothing but the sacrifice, the yajnam. The yajna is mentioned in the Vedic literature. For if you are one who understands the sacrificial, the yajna samskaram, or in other words, the associated samskaram of yajnam, he can understand what this is referring to. Tvaji chando roma svavigushaganas chakshushi gritham chaturhodaram rau srugavi vadane chodaramidaham graha jikhvayam ve parapurusha karneja chamasa vibho somo viryam varada galadeshe upasadaham. That what did the sages see in the Varaha's body? They seeing that all the Gayatri and the Chandas, which are the Vedic meters and the mantras, they were present there on his skin, on the body, on the skin of Lord Varaha. And in the place of eyes, they saw the ghee which is used in the sacrifice. Graha jikhvayam de parapurusham. And the four legs represented the four, what is known as the hota. In the big sacrifices, there will be four people sitting on the four sides of the fire sacrificial agnihunda. And they are known as hota, Athuri, Brahman, Udgadava. That is the four names, titles given to them. And they have their own roles in these big sacrifices. The four legs of Varaha represented that. In addition to that, he also karne chamasa chaham, and the semen of Lord Varaha was considered as the somarasam, which is used in the sacrifices. And like this, everything, every part of Lord Varaha represented some aspect or the other of the great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature. So in other words, what was happening was that these sacrifices actually represented, Lord Varaha's appearance actually represented the yajna samskara of the Vedic sacrifices in its pure form. So from here we can see that normally a boar or wild boar or whatever it is considered to be a disgusting animal. That's how we normally look at it, an animal like that. But when Krishna has taken that form is worshipable. That's important. That is, that when Krishna has accepted the form of a boar, it has become worshipable. Similarly, yajna samskara means the karma of our karma activities in this world. Karma means normally pragradam. Pragradam means it is basically a crude thing. The karma is actually a crude thing. But when that karma is performed to please Krishna, or it is in relationship with Krishna, or which is an activity as a sacrifice, if it is performed, that karma becomes also purified. The karma is purified. That becomes yajnam. Or like, sadly like the Varaha, when it's an animal, it has no value. It is considered to be a very lower animal. Among the animals, it's a very lower status it has. But as soon as Krishna has to accepted that incarnation of Varaha, it has become very worshipable because the Supreme Lord is present there in the form of Varaha. Similarly, karma also, when it is done on a material level, on material consciousness, simply for sense gratification, it is as bad as the hog's life. That is how Bhagavatam is indicating from that Varaha's appearance. That if material activities are performed by living entity, simply for the sake of sense gratification, it is considered to be no better than a hog. That is the message coming through. But if the same activities are performed as a sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord, according to Krishna's instructions in the Vedic literature, that same karma becomes purified and it becomes a sacrifice or yajna. So that is the main point in this Varaha's appearance. Varaha incarnation is important because of that. Why? Because the first thing that's happening right before Swayambhu Manu's time. And Swayambhu Manu, now you will see when we go on in the third canto further, that there is the appearance of Swayambhu Manu and Shadarupa Devi. Their administration in this world. If you read that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you compare that administration to our administration today, the difference is exactly like Varaha and the hog. There is not much difference. It's exactly like that. Ordinary hog which eats the stool and Varaha, Supreme Lord's incarnation. That difference you will find in Swayambhu Manu's administration and the modern lifestyle or modern administration on the in this planet today as we experience in different places. So, anyway, that is one thing. Secondly, Swayambhu Manu's time, what happened after that? Swayambhu Manu's long period of administration. How much time? 71 Chaturyugas. Kritam Treda Dwabaram Kali. 4 Chaturyugas make one full cycle. And if you have a cyclical effect of that, 1000 Chaturyugas makes one day of Lord Brahma. And in that 71 Chaturyugas, 14 Manus, they divide this 1000 Chaturyugas and each Manu has 71 Chaturyugas. So you can imagine what a long period of time Swayambhu Manu ruled this planet, the first emperor in this planet, from whom the name man has come. From Manu the name man has come. So Manu is the first living entity who has actually administered this planet with Shadarupa Devi. It is their life and their 5 children we spoke about and their administration. That is the next topic. After that, in the same third canto, you will find Swayambhu Manu's second daughter, Dvitiya Putri, which is Kardama Prajapati, married her. Her name was Devahudi Devi. Devahudi Devi was married to Kardama Prajapati. And their marriage and their grahastha ashram, household life. This is all very, very, very important things to look into, because only when you read all these things you understand that there were people who lived a different lifestyle than what we live today. And not only that, the high principles they held in their life in this world. Shadarupa Devi and Swayambhu Manu, Kardama Prajapati and Devahudi Devi, their household life. And after the household life, Kardama Prajapati's giving up the household life, going to the forest. And eventually, we have Supreme Personality of God and Krishna coming down to this world as Kapila Vasudev and teaching this world the science of yoga system. And that is the next few chapters after that. So these three important topics comes after this Varaha's appearance. Swayambhu Manu's administration of the planet with Shadarupa Devi, Kardama Prajapati's marriage to Devahudi Devi, and eventually Kardama Prajapati leaving home, and later on what you find there is the teachings of Lord Kapila, which Srila Prabhupada put in as a separate book, because that topic of Kapila Vasudev's instructions to the human society is so valuable in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It has been given a very, very special position, and it is known as Kapilam. And it is a topic which requires a few days to discuss, because it is so much transcendental knowledge. Bhakti Yogam, Sangha Yogam and Ashtanga Yogam, all three yoga systems, and Kapila Vasudev instructed this world through his mother Devahudi Devi. So now, before we go into that, we should read those chapters of Varahas from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we will move into that. Nishamya vajam vadato muni punyatamam nrava bhuyakta prachakauravya vasudeva kathadridaha Shri Vidura Vajam Savai Swayambhuva Samral Priya Putra Swayambhava Pratilabhya Priyam Patnim Kim Chakara Tato Muni Vinadya Muyo Vibhido Charitam Dasya Raja Shreya Adiraja Sya Satama Bruhime Shraddhadanaya Vishwatsena Shrayohyasau Shrudasya Bonsam Sujira Shramasya Man Manje Sasu Vidividi Dortha Yatal Gunanu Shravanam Mugunda Pala Ravindam Khrayeshu Yesham Shri Shubhavajam Idi Bruvanam Vidunam Vinidam Sahasrasheshna Sharano Bhadanam Prahishtaro Bhagavan Kadayam Praniyamano Munirabhyajashtaha ശ്രീ മൈത്രയോവാചാം യഥാസ്വഭാര്യ സാകം ജാതസ്വയംഭൂമനു പ്രാഞ്ജലി പ്രണതശ്ചേദം വേദഗർഭമഭാഷതാം ത്വമേകസർവഭൂതാനാം ജന്മകൃത്വദ്യുദപ്പിന അഥാപിന പ്രജാനാം ദേ ശുശ്രൂഷാം കേന വാ ഭവേൽ തദ്വിദേഹി നമസ്തുഭ്യം കർമ്മസ്വീഭ്യാത്മശക്തിഷു യൽകൃതേ ഹ്വയശോ വിശ്വം അമുത്രജവവേൽഘതീഃ ശ്രീ ബ്രഹ്മോവാചാം പ്രീതസ്തുഭ്യമഹം നാഥ സ്വസ്തി സ്വാദ്വാം ശിരീശ്വര എന്യർവിളീകേന കഥാശാദിവേ ചാത്മനാർപ്പിതം ഏതാവത്യാത്മജയർവീര കാര്യ അപചതിർഗുരൗ ശക്ത്യാ പ്രമർത്തേർഹേദ സാദരം ഗതമത്സരൈഃ സത്വമസ്യാമപത്യാനി സദൃശാന്യാത്മനോ ഗുണൈ ഉൽപാദ്യശാസ്ത്രധർമ്മേണ ഗാം യജ്ഞൈ പുരുഷം യജാം പരം ശുശ്രൂഷണം മഹ്യം സ്യാൽ പ്രജാരക്ഷയാ നൃപ ഭഗവാംസ്തേ പ്രജാഭർത്തൃ കൃഷീകേശേന ദുഷ്യതി യേഷാം നദുഷ്ടോ ഭഗവാൻ യജ്ഞലിംഗോ ജനാർദ്ദന തേഷാം ശ്രമോ ഹ്യവാർത്തായ യദാത്മാനാദൃത സ്വയം ശ്രീമനുരുവാചാം ആദേശേഹം ഭഗവതോ വർത്തേയാമി വസൂദന സ്ഥാനം ത്യുഹാനി ജാനീഹി പ്രജാനാം മമ ച പ്രഭോ യദോഗ സർവസത്വാനാം മഹീമഗ്നാമഹാംഭസി അസ്യാ ഉദ്ധരണേ യത്നോ ദേവദേവ്യോ വിധീയാം ശ്രീമൈത്രയുവാചാം പരമേഷ്ടീ തുഭാം മധ്യേ തഥാ സന്നാമവേക്ഷകാം കഥമേനം സമുന്നേഷ്യാം ഇതി ദദ്ധ്യോദിയാചിരം സൃജതോമേക്ഷിതിർവാഭി പ്ലാവ്യമാനാരസാം ഗത അഥാത്രയമനുഷ്ഠേയം അസ്മാദസർഗയോചിതൈ യസ്യാഹം ഹൃദയാദാസം സ ഈശോ വിധദാതുമേ ഇത്യഭിധ്യായതോ നാസ വിവരാൽ സഹസാനക വരാഹലോകോ നിരഹ നിരക അങ്കുഷ്ടപരിമാണക തസ്യാവിവശ്യതഖസ്ത ക്ഷണേന കില ഭാരത ഗജമാത്ര പ്രവവൃധേ തദ്ദുദ്ഭുതമഹൂന്മഹൽ മരീചി പ്രമുഖേർവിപ്രൈ കുമാരേർമനുനാസഃ ദൃഷ്ട്വാതൽ സൗകരം രൂപം തർക്കയാമാസ ചിത്രധാ കിമേതൽ സൗകരം വ്യാജം സത്വം ദിവ്യമവസ്ഥിതം അഹോ ബലാശ്ചര്യമിതം നാസായാമേ വിനിസ്രതം ദൃഷ്ടോങ്കുഷ്ടശിരോ മാത്രം ക്ഷണാഗന്നശിലാസമ അഭിസ്വിൽ ഭഗവാനേഷ യജ്ഞോ മേ ഖേദയന്മനാം ഇതി മീമാംസതസ്തസ്യ ബ്രഹ്മണ സഹസോനുഭി ഭഗവാൻ യജ്ഞവേഷോ ജഗർജാഗേന്ദ്ര സന്നിഭ ബ്രഹ്മാണം ഹഷയാമാസ ഹരിസ്താംശ്ച ദ്വിജോത്തമാൻ സുഗർജിതേന ഗുഗുമ പ്രതിസ്വനേതാ വിഭൂ നിശമ്യതേ ഗർഭേദം സുഖേദം ക്ഷയിഷ്ണുമായാമയ സൂകരസ്യ ജനസ്തമ സത്യനിവാസിനസ്തേ ത്രിവിപവിത്രേർ മുനയോ ഗണൻ സ്മ തേഷാം സദാം വേദവിധാനമൂർത്തിർ ബ്രഹ്മാവതാര്യാത്മഗുണാനുവാദം വിനന്ദ്യ ഭൂയോ വിഭുദോദയായ ഗജേന്ദ്രയിലോ ജലമാവിവേശാം ഉക്ഷിപ്തവാലഖരഘോര സദാ വിനുധ്വൻഖരോമശത്വ ഖുരാഹദാബ്രസിതം സമീക്ഷ ജ്യോതിർഭവാസേ ഭഗവാൻ മഹീന്ദ്രാം ഘ്രാണേന പ്രത്യാ പദവിം വിചിഘൻ ക്രോഡോപദേശ സ്വയമധ്വരാംഗ കരാളനഷ്ടോപകരാളദ്രഭ്യ ഉദ്ദീക്ഷ വിപ്രാൻ ഗണതോ വിശദ്ഗം സ വജ്രകൂടാംഗ നിപാതവേഗം വിശീർണകുക്ഷിസ്തനയം നുദന്വാൻ ഉത്സൃഷ്ട ദീർഘോർമുബിജൈരിവാർത്ത ശുക്രോശയജ്ഞേശ്വര പാഹിമേദീം ഘുനേശ്വരപ്രേ അദയം സദാജം ഉൽപാരവാരം ത്രിപരൂരസായം ദദർശകാം തത്ര സുഷുപ്സുരഗേ യാം ജീവധാനീം സ്വയമഭ്യദദ്ധാഃ സുദംഷ്ടയോദ്രക്തമഹീ നിമഗ്നാം സമുച്ഛിത സംവിരുചേരസായാം തത്രാതിദൈത്യം ഗതയാ പതന്തം സുനാഭസന്ധീ വിദതി പ്രമന്യൂം ജഘാനരുന്ധാനമസഹ്യ വിക്രമം സലീലേഭം മൃഗരാടിവാംഭസി തദ്രക്തമംഗാംഗിതകണ്ഠദണ്ഡോ യഥാ ഗജേന്ദ്രോ ജഗതീം വിഭിന്ദൻ തമാലനീലം സിതദന്തഗോട്ട്യാം ക്ഷ്മാവൃക്ഷിപന്തം ഗജലീലയാംഗ പ്രജ്ഞായ ബദ്ധാഞ്ജലയോ നുവാഗേ വിരിഞ്ചിമുഖ്യാം ഉപതസ്തുരീശം ശ്രീഹൃഷയൂചും ജിതം ജിതം ദേജിതയജ്ഞഭാവനത്രൈധനും സ്വാംബരിതുന്വദേ നമ യത്രോമകർത്തേഷു നിലീലിരുദ്ധരാം തസ്മൈ നമഃ കാരണസുകരായതേം രൂപം തവൈ തന്നനുഷ്കൃതാത്മനാം ദുർദർശനം ദേവേതധ്വരാത്മകം ചന്ദാംസേയസ്യത്വചിബർഹിരോമം സ്വാജ്യം ദൃശി ത്വം വിഷു ചാതുർഹോത്രം സുക്തുണ്ടമാസേ സ്വമീശനാസയോ ഇടോദരേ ചമസാകർണരന്ധ്രേ പ്രാശിത്രമാസേ ഗ്രസനേ ഗ്രഹാസ്തുതേ യച്ഛർവണം ദേ ഭഗവന്നഗ്നിഹോത്രം ദീക്ഷാനുജന്മോവസതശിരോധരം ത്വം പ്രായണീയോ ദയനീയ ദംഷ്ട ജിഹ്വാ പ്രവർഗ്യസ്തവശീർഷകം ക്രതോ സഭ്യാവസത്യം ചതയോ സമോഹിതേ സോമസ്തു രേതസ്തവനാന്യവസ്ഥിതി സംസ്ഥാവിഭേദാസ്തവദേവ ദാഥവ സത്രാണി സർവാണി ശരീരസന്നിസ്ത്വം യസർവയജ്ഞ കൃതുരിഷ്ടിവന്ധനാഃ നമോ നമസ്തേകില മന്ത്രദേവത ദ്രവ്യായ സർവക്രതവേക്രയാത്മനി വൈരാഗ്യഭക്തി ആത്മജയാനുഭാവിത ജ്ഞാനായ വിദ്യാ ഗുരവേ നമോ നമാം ദംഷ്ടാഗ്രകോട്യാഭകർമ്മസ്ത്വയാദൃത വിരാജതേ ഭൂതരഭൂസഭൂതര യഥാവനാനിസ്തരദോ ധദാദൃത മദംഗജേന്ദ്രസ്യ സപത്രപത്മിനീ ത്രയീമയം രൂപമിദം ച സൗകരം ഭൂമണ്ഡലേ നാഥ ധദാദൃതേന തേ ശകാസ്തി ശംഖോടകനേ ഭൂഘനേന ഭൂയസ കുലാചലേന്ദ്രസ്യ യഥൈവ വിഭ്രമാഃ സംസ്ഥാവരീനാം ജഗതാം സദസ്തുഷാം ലോകായ പത്നീമസി മാതരം വിദ വിധേമജാസ്യൈ നമസാ സഹത്വയ യസ്യാം സുതേജോ നിവാരണാവധാഃ കാ ശ്രദ്ധദീദാന്യതമസ്തവ പ്രഭോ രസാം ഗതായാം ഉദ്ഭരണം ന വിസ്മയോസോ ത്വയി വിശ്വവിസ്മയേ യോ മായേദം സസജേതി വിസ്മയം വിധുന്വദാ വേദമയം നിജം വപുഃ ജനസ്തവ സഖ്യ നിവാസിനോ വയം സഭാശിഖോ ദൂതശിവാം ഭവിന്ദുമി വിമൃജ്യമാനാം ഗശമീശ ഭാവിദാഃ സവൈവ ദഭ്രഷ്ടമരിസ്തവേഷവേ യകർമ്മണാം പ്രാരംഭവാര കർമ്മണ യദ്യോഗമായ ഗുണയോഗമോഹിതം വിശ്വം സമസ്തം ഭഗവാൻ വിവേഹിഷം ശ്രീ മൈത്രേയ വാചാം ദ്യുപസ്ഥിയമാനസ്ഥിർമുനിർബ്രഹ്മവാദിവി സലിലേ സുഖുരാക്രാന്തം ഉപദത്താവിദാവിനീം സയിത്ഥം ഭഗവാൻ ഉർവിം വിശ്വക്സേന പ്രജാപതി രസായാലിലയോ നീനാം അപ്സുന്യസേയോ ഹരീം യ ഏമേദാം ഹരിമേധസോ ഹരേ കഥാം സുഭദ്രാം കഥനീയമായിന ശൃണ്വീത ഭക്ത്യാശ്രവേത ഘോഷണീം ജനാർദനോസ്യ ശുഹൃതി പ്രസീദതീം തസ്മിൻ പ്രസന്നേ സകലാശിഷാം പ്രഭോ കിം ദുർലഭം താവിരലം ലവാത്മവി അനന്യദൃഷ്ട്യാം ഭജതാം ഗുഹാശയ സ്വയം വിദത്തേ സുഗതിം പരപരാം കോ നാമ ലോകേ പുരുഷാർത്ഥസാരവിൽ പുരാകഥാനാം ഭഗവൽ കഥാസുതാം ആദീയ കർണാഞ്ജലിവിർഭവാവഹ അഹോ വിരജ്യേത വിനാനരേതരം ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ തൃതീയസ്കന്ദേ വരാഹ പ്രാദുർഭാവാനുവർണേന ത്രയോദശോധ്യായ ശ്രീശുഭവാചാം നിശബ്ദകൗഷാരവിനോപവർണിതാം ഹരേ കഥാം കാരണസൂകരാത്മന പുനഃസവ പ്രചിതമുദ്ഗിരാഞ്ജലിം ന ചാതിർവൃത്തോ വിധിരോധൃതവ്രതാഃ ശ്രീവിദുരവാചാം തേനൈവ മുനിശ്രേഷ്ഠാ ഹരിണാ യജ്ഞമൂർത്തിന അതിദൈത്യോ ഹിരണ്യാക്ഷാം ഹതമിത്യനുശുശ്രുമാം തസ്യ ജ്യോധനക്ഷോണിം സ്വദംഷ്ടാംഗേണ ലീലയ ദൈത്യരാജസ്യ ച ബ്രഹ്മൻ കസ്മാദ്ധേദോരഭൂന്മൃതാം ശ്രീ മൈത്രേയവാചാം സാധുവീരത്വയാ പൃഷ്ടമവതാര കഥാം ഹരേ യത്വം പ്രച്ഛസി മർത്യാ മൃത്യുപാശു വിഷാദനീം ഏയോത്ഥാനമത പുത്രോ മുനീർണാധിതയാർഭക മൃത്യോ കൃത്യയമൂർധന്യം വിമാരുരോഹമരേ പദം അഥാത്രാവിഹാസോയം ശുതോമീ വർണിത പുര ബ്രഹ്മണാ ദേവദേവേന ദേവാനാമനുപൃച്ഛതാം ദിദിർദാക്ഷായണി ക്ഷത്തർമാരീചം കശ്യപം വരീം അപത്യകാമോചനമേ സന്ധ്യായാം ഹൃചയാർജിതാം ഇഷ്ട്വാഗ്നേജിഹ്വം പയസാ പുരുഷം യജുഷാം പതിം നിംലോചത്യർക്കമാസീനം അഗ്നഹാരേ സമാഹിതം ശ്രീതിരുവാചാം ഏഷ മാം ദുർക്കൃതേ വിദ്വൻ കാമമാതശരാസന ദുനോദിതീനാം വിക്രമ്യം രംഭാമിയോദംഗജാം തദ്ഭവാൻ ദഹ്യമാനായം സമദ്ദീനാം സമൃദ്ധിവി പ്രജാവദീനാം ഭദ്രം ദേ മയ്യായും താമനുഗ്രഹം ഭക്തരിയൊത്തോരുമാനാനാം ലോകാനാം ശരേ യശ പതിർഭവതിദോ യാസാം പ്രജായാമനുജായതേ പുരാപിതാനോ ഭഗവാൻ ദക്ഷോദിർവത്സല കംപ്രീതപരം വത്സാം ഇത്യപൃച്ഛന്ന പ്രധൻ സവീത്വാത്മജാനാം നോ ഭാവം സന്ധാന ഭാവന ത്രയോദശാദ ദാത്താസാം യാസ്തേ ശീലമനുവ്രതാഃ അഥ മേ ഗുരു കല്യാണം കാമം കഞ്ചവിലോചന ആർത്തോവസർപ്പണം ഭൂമൻ അമോഹം ഹീമഹീയസീ ഇതി തം വീരമാരീചാ കൃപണാം ബഹുഭാഷിണീം പ്രത്യാഹാനുനയൻ വാചാ പ്രവൃദ്ധാനംഗകശ്മലാം ഏഷ ദേഹം വിധാസ്യാമി പ്രിയം ഭീരുചരിച്ഛസി തസ്യാ കാമം നഗക്കുരിയാൽ സിദ്ധി സ്ത്രൈവർഗീയതാം സർവാശമാനുപാതായ സ്വാശ്രമേണ കളത്രവാൻ രസനാർണവമത്യേരി ജലയാനൈ ജലയാര്യധാർണവം യാഹുരാത്മനോഹ്യം ശ്രേയസ്കാമസ്യമാനി യസ്യാം സ്വധുരമധ്യസ്യ പുവാം ശരതി വിജ്വരാം യാമാശ്രിത്യേന്ദ്രിയാരാധി ദുർജയാ നിതരാശ്രമേ വയം ജയേമ ഹേളാഭിർ ദസ്യൂം ദുർഗമതീര്യഥാ ന വയം പ്രഭവസ്വാം ത്വാം അനുകൃത്വം ഗൃഹേശ്വരി അപ്യായുഷാ വാ കാർഷ്ണേന ഏചാനീഗ്നഗൃധ്ന വാ അഥാപി കാമമേതം ദേ പ്രജാതേകരവാണ്യലം യഥാമം നാദിവോചന്തി മുഹൂർത്തം പ്രതിപാലയാം ഏഷാ ഘോരതമാവേലം ഘോരാണാം ഘോരദർശന ചരന്തിയസ്യാം ഭൂതാനി ഭൂതേശാനുചരാണിഹാം ഏതസ്യാം സ്വാധ്വി സന്ധ്യായാം ഭഗവാൻ ഭൂതവാമന പരീതോ ഭൂതവർഷദ്ഭിർ വൃഷേണോടതി ഭൂതരാൾ ശ്മശാനചക്രാനിരധൂളിധൂമ്രം വികീർണ വിദ്യോദജടാ കലാവ ഭസ്മാവഗുണ്ഠാമലരൂക്മദേഹോ ദേവസ്ത്രീ പശ്യതി ദേവരസ്തേ നയസ്യ ലോകേ സുജനപരോ വാ ആത്യാദൃതോ നോദ കശ്ചിദ് വിഗ്രഹ്യ ചരണാപവിദ്ദമാശാസ്മഹേജാം വദ ഭുക്തഭോഗാം യസ്യാനവദ്യാചരിതം മനീഷിണോ ഗ്രണന്തവിദ്യാപള്ളം വിവിൽസവ നിരസ്തസാമ്യാതിശയോ ഭിയസ്വയം വിഷാജമര്യ വിഷാജജ്ഞാമചരൽഗതിസദാം അസന്ധി യസ്യാചരിതം ഹി ദുർഭഗ സ്വാൽപൻ രതസ്യ വിദുഷസമീഹിതം യൈർവസ്ത്രമാല്യാഭരണാനുലേമനേ അശുഭോജനം സ്വാത്മദൈവബലാളിതം ബ്രഹ്മാദയോ യൽക്രതസേതുബാല യൽകാരണം വിശ്വമിദം ചമായ ഭവിഷ്യതസ്തവാഭദ്രാവഭദ്രൈഃ ചാടരാധമോ ലോകാൻസവാലാം സ്ത്രീംശ്ചണ്ഡി മുഹുരാക്രമയിഷ്യതാം പ്രാണിനാം ഹന്യമാനാനാം ദീനാനാം അകൃതാഗസാം സ്ത്രീണാം നിഗ്രഹ്യമാനാനാം കോപിതേഷു മഹാത്മസോ തഥാ വിശേഷരക്രുദ്ധോ ഭഗവാൻ ലോകഭാവന ഹനിഷത്തവദീര്യാസോ യഥാ ത്രിംശതപർവദ്ര ശ്രീതിരുവാചാം വധം ഭഗവതാ സാക്ഷാൽ സുനാഭോദാരവാഹുന ആശാസേ പുത്രയോ മഹ്യം മാ ക്രുദ്ധാൽ ബ്രാഹ്മണാദ്വിഭവം ന ബ്രഹ്മദണ്ഡദഗ്ധസ്യ ന ഭൂതഭയദസ്യ ച നരകാശ്ചാനുഗ്രഹണി ആയാമ്യോനിമസൗഗതാ ശ്രീകശ്വവാചാം കൃതശോകാനുതാപേന സദ്യ പ്രത്യവമർശനാൽ ഭഗത്യു ഭഗവത്യുരുമാന ച ഭവേ മയ്യ വിജാതരാൽ പുത്രസ്യവിതപുത്രാണാം ഭവിതൈകസ്തതം മമ സദാമന ഗാസ്യന്തി യദ്ദിശ ശുദ്ധം ഭഗവദ്ദിശ സമസമം യോഗേഹേമേവ ദുർവർണം ഭാവയിഷ്യന്തി സാധവ നിർവൈരാദിവിരാൽപാനം യച്ഛീലമനുവർത്തിതം യൽ പ്രസാദാദിതം വിശ്വം പ്രസീദതി യദാൽപകം സദൃദ്ധുൽ ഭഗവാൻ യസ്യ തോഷ്യതേനന്യയാദൃശാം സവൈ മഹാഭാഗവതോ മഹാത്മാ മഹാനുഭാവോ മഹതാം വഹിഷ്ഠ പ്രബുദ്ധഭക്ത്യാം അനുഭാവി ദാശേ നിവേശ്യ വൈകുണ്ഠമിമം വിഹാസ്യതി അലംബരശീലധരോ ഗുണാകരോ അഷ്ടപരാധ്യാവിദോ ദുഃഖിതേഷു അഭൂതശത്രുജഗത ശോകഹർത്ത മൈധാകിയം താപവിയോട് രാജാഃ അന്തർബഹിശ്ചാമലമബ്ജനേത്രം സുപൂരുഷേച്ഛാനുഗൃഹീതരൂപം പൗത്രസ്തവ ശ്രീലലലാലലാമം ദൃഷ്ടാ സ്ഫുരൽ കുണ്ഡലമണ്ഡിതാനനം ശ്രീ മൈത്രയോവാചാം ശുക്വാ ഭാഗവതം പൗത്രം അമോദതവിദ്ധിർഭൃശം ത്രയോശോധം കൃഷ്ണ ദിത്വാസീൻ മഹാമനാ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ തൃതീയസ്കന്ധേ ദ്വിതികശിവസംവാദേ ചതുർദശോധ്യായ മൈത്രയോവാചാം രാജാവത്യന്തുതത്തേജപരതേജോഹനം ദിരി ധാരവർഷാനിശതം ശങ്കമാനാസുരാർദനാൽ ലോകേ തേന ഹതാ ലോകേ ലോകബാലാഹതൗജസ നിവേദയന്മിശ്വസജേ ദ്വാന്തം വിധികരം വിശാം ദേവൗജും ലോകനാഥശിഖാമണി പരേഷാമപരേഷാം ത്വം ഭൂതാനാമസി ഭാവവിൽ നമോ വിജ്ഞാനവീര്യായ മായേദമുപേയുഷേ ഗൃഹീത ഗുണഭേദായ നമസ്തേ വ്യക്തയുനേ യേത്വാനന്യേന ഭാവേന ഭാവയന്ത്യാത്മഭാവനം ആത്മനി പ്രോതഭുവനം പരം സദസദാത്മകം തേഷാം സുഭക്വയോഗാനാം ജിതശ്വാസേന്ദ്രിയാത്മനം ലബ്ധയുഷ്മൽപ്രസാദാനാം നകുതശ്ചിരിൽ പരാഭവാം യസ്യ വാചാ പ്രജാ സർവ ഗാവസ്തന്ദേവ യന്ത്രിന ഹരന്തി ബലിമായത്താസ് തസ്മൈ മുഖ്യായ ദീനമാം സത്വം വിദൽ സ്വശം ഭൂമം തമസാ ലുപ്തകർമ്മണം അധഭ്രതയാ ദൃഷ്ട്യ ആവന്നാർഹസീക്ഷിതം യേഷ ദേവദേർഗർഭ ഓജകാശമർപ്പിതം ദിശസ്തിമിരയൻ സർവ വർദ്ധരേഗ്നിവൈധസി മൈത്രയവാചാം സപ്രഹസ്യ മഹാബാഹോ ഭഗവാൻ ശബ്ദഗോചര പ്രത്യാജഷ്ടാത്മഭൂർദേവാൻ പ്രീണന്ദുചിതയാജ ബ്രഹ്മവാചാം മനസാമേ സുതായുഷ്മൽപൂവജാസനഗാദയ ചേരുവിഹായ സാലോമാൻ ലോകേഷു ഗതസ്പൃഹ തയേകദാ ഭഗവതോ വൈകുണ്ഠസ്യ അമലാത്മന അയുർവൈകുണ്ഠനിലയം സർവലോക നമസ്കൃതം വസന്തി യത്ര പുരുഷാ സർവേ വൈകുണ്ഠമൂർത്തയ യോനിമിത്തനിമിത്തേന ധർമ്മേനാരാധയൻ ഹരിം യത്ര ജാതിപമാനാസ്തേ ഭഗവാൻ ശബ്ദഗോചര സത്വം നിഷ്ഠം വിവരജം സ്വാനാം നോ മൃഡയൻ വൃഷ Yatra Naishrayasam Namam Param Kamadukhaya Dhrumai Sarvartuvi Sarvartu Shri Bhivir Drajar Kaivelya Miva Murtimal Vaiva Aniyasalana Charidani Yatra Gayandi Lokasama Lakshmana Nibhartu Andar Jareinu Vikasan Madhumatha Veenam Yandhene Gandita Diyo Anilam Shivandaha Paravadhani Bhadasarasa Chakravaka Datyuha Hamsa Shukaditri Varhinamya Kolahalo Viramade Jiramatramuchar Bhangadive Harikadami Vajayamani Mandara Kunda Karagol Prajambagarnam Punyaka Naga Bhagunam Bujabari Jana Gandharchi De Tulasi Ghabra Nena Tasya Yasmin Savasumana Sohumana Yandi Yelfangulam Haribadana Dimatra Dushte Vaiduja Marada Hayama Moyi Vivani Yesham Halkari Dalam Smitasho Bhimukyam Krishna Alpanam Marida Mada Urul Smayad Gain Shri Rubini Kunayadi Charanaravindam Kila Mujina Harisalmani Mukta Dosha Sam Lakshade Spariya Gudem Ubeda Hemi Sanmar Jadiva Yadanugrahani Yatnam Wabi Shuidra Madana Samala Amradapsu Preshyan Vidani Javani Tulasi Bhirisham Abhyarchadi Sulayam in Nasami Shavatram Ucheshidam Bhagavadi Etimadanga Yachri Yandam Prajandika Vidorizananu Adam Chandandi and Yavishayaku Kadama Digni Yastu Shuda Hadavagan the Hirata Sara Stam Stan Shivan the Sharanation of Suhanda Yabhirti Dama Vijanu Undergadim Pramendam Yanam Jaratu Shayam Sahara Mayatra Aradhan Bhagavad Ovidaran Yamusha Samohida Vidadaya Vadamayati Yetcha Brazendan Musham Shabhan Urtia Dure Yama Hubirinas Prahani Yashina Bartun with a Suyasha Sakatana Nuyagam by Club Bevashwakalaya Pulaki Ikradanga Tad Bisha Burvadigradam Huanega Vandiam Divyam Vijitra Vidagra Vimana Shochi Abuparam Udamaburu Vete Yogamaya Berena Muneas Tatado Vikundam Tasminna Nitamunaya Aditamunaya Shadasajamanam Katsha Samana Mayasava the Saptamayam Deva Vajashadagrahida Gado Paradhyam Kayura Gandala Kirida Dangaveshom Matadure Havanama Aligayani Vedo Vinyastayasa Jadustayava Humande Patram Ruva Kudilaya Kudanar Gamabhyam Rekte Shanina Jamanaka Manaka Sandadhanam Dwarieta Yorni Vishur Mishadora Vrishwa Purvayana Purava Jagavadigayam Sarvatra de Vishamayamane Sudrashtya, E Sanjaran de Vihada, Vihada Avishanga Tan Vichavadrashanam Sugre Kumaran, Vrudhan, Deshadda Vaiso Vidid Alma Datuan, Vetrena Yaskaleda, Adadar Hanam Sto, Tejo Vihasya Bhagaval, Pratigula Shilom, Tabhyam Michel Sunimishan Shidyamanam, Sohatama Bigare Prihara Vabhyam, Uja Sukhurtum Edrakshi Avangamishal, Kaman Jena Sahasa, Ta Upludacha, Ubabukshadacha. Muneyavujo, Kovami Hate, Bhagaval Prithayoche, Sadarminam, Nivasadam Shamasubhava, Tasmin Prashanda Vurusheka, the Vigrahevam, Ko Atmahal, Kuhagayo, Parishanganiya, Nahyandaram Bhagavadi, Samasta Gucha, Almana, Alpininaho, Navasi Vathira, Pashandi Atrayo, Suralingino, Kim Ulpadidam, Udare Vayam Yadosiam, Tudwama Mushavaramasivikundavartu, Kartam Bragrashtam Hadima Himandadibhyam, Logani do, Rajadamandara Bhava Drishtya, Pabi Sastrayamive, Bhavoseyatram, Teshami Dividam Bhava, Adhari Ghoram Tham, Brahmadandamayuaranam Stravogi, Sadhyo Hare, Anujara, Uruvipyadastel Pada Graha, Abadadam, Adigadarinam, Buyadhagoni Bhagavad Bhiragari Dando, Yona Hare, the Surahayanam Apishesham, Ma Vonudavakalaya Bhagaval Spradigno, Moho Bhavi Dihanudano, Prasadoradhodham, Evam Dadeo Bhagavan Aravindanava, Swanam Vibuddhya Sadhikrama Maria Hridya, Tasmin Yeo Paramaham Samaha Munina Manuashani Charano, Chalayan Sahasri Tam Tuagadam Pradhikada Vegam Subhumbi, Staja Chalachu Shem Susamadi Bhagyam, Hamsashri or Vijaneo Shiva Vayilolam, Subrada Vatrashishishishishara, Kaisasige Eshara Shigaram, Shrusna Prasadam, Sumukham Sprahani Yadhamas Neha Veloga Kalaya Khalisam Sprishandam Shyami Pradhavarasi Shobhidaya Shriyaswa Shudamanim Sumagendam Atmadishnyam Pidam Shuge Prudunidham Vinivispurandyam Kanjara Bhirvirudaya Manamalayanja Valgu Pragoshta Valayam Vinada Sudam Se Vinyasta Hastamidarena Dunanam Abjam Vidyul Kshipan Magarakundalam Andanaham Gandastaravanna Sukhammanimal Kiridam Sordhan Dashanda Vivar Eharada Parathyam Harena Kantharan Kantharagadi Enuja Kaustubhenam Atrova Sashtam Vijol Smidam Indirayam Swanam Dhiya Virajidam Bahu Saushtavadhyam Mahyam Bhavasya Bhavadam Javajandamangam Nemur Nirikshan Vidraktarisho Mudakeyim Tastiara in the Nina Sivadara in them, Kinjalkamisha Tulasi Magaranda Vayu, Andargada Suri Vare Nature Gara, Desham, some Shovam, അക്ഷരദുഷാമവി ചിത്തതന്യോ സേവാമനുഷ്യവദനാസിതപത്മകോശം ഉദ്വീക്ഷ്യസുന്ദരനിരാധരകുന്ദഹാസം ലബ്ധാശിഷ പുനരവേക്ഷതദീയമന്ത്രി ദ്വന്ദ്വം നഖാരുണമണിശ്രയണം നിദധ്യോ പുംസാം ഗതി മൃഗയതാമിഹ യോഗമാർഗേ ധ്യാനാസ്പദം ബഹുപദം മൈനാഭിരാമം പംസ്നം ബഹുദർശനയാ ദർശയാനമനന്യസിദ്ധൈ ഔൽപൗത്തികൈ സമഗ്രണൻ യുഗമഷ്ടമോഗൈ കുമാരൗജോ യോന്ദർഹിതോ ഹൃതിഗതോ വിദുരാത്മനം ത്വം സോദ്യയോനോ നയനമൂലമനന്തരാധ യഹേവ കർണവിവരേണ ഗുഹാം ഗതോന ചിത്രാനുവർണിതരഹ ഭവതുദ്ഭവേനാം തം ത്വാം വിദാമ ഭഗവാൻ പരമാത്മതത്വം സത്വേന സംപ്രതിനിധിം രജയന്തമേഷാം തത്തേനുതാപവിദ്യതേ ദൃഢഭക്തിയോഗൈരുദ്ഗന്ധയോ ഹൃദിവിദോ മുനയോ വിരാഗാഃ നാത്യന്ത്യകം വിഗണയന്തി വിദേ പ്രസാദം കിം ത്വന്യദർപ്പിതമയം ഭ്രമമുന്നയൈസ്തൈ യംഗത്വദംഗ്രിശരണാഭവദക്കഥായാം കീർത്തന്യതീർത്ഥയശസ്കുശല രസജ്ഞാഃ കാമം ഭവത്സു വൃതിനേർനിരയേഷു നസ്താം ചേതോളിവദ്യ ദിനദ്വയേ പദയോരമേത വാചശ്ച തുളസീവദ്യതി ലംഘിശോഭാ പുരേതേ ഗുണഗണേർയതികർണരന്ധാഃ പ്രാദുശ്ചകർത്തയതിദം ബ്രഹൂതരൂപം തേനേശൃതിമവാപുരലംദൃശോന തസ്മായിദം ഭഗവതീനോയിധ്യുദേമ യേന യുവനാത്മനാം ദുരിതയോ ഭഗവൻ പ്രതീതാം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ തൃതീയസ്കന്ധേ സനകാദിശാവോ നാമ പഞ്ചദശോധ്യായ ബ്രഹ്മോവാചാം ഇതി തൽക്കണതാം തേഷാം മുനീനാം യോഗധർമ്മിണാം പ്രതിനന്ദ്യ ജഗാദേതം വികുണ്ഠനിലയോ വിഭോ ശ്രീഭഗവാൻ വാചാം ഏതോ ഉപാഷദോ മഹ്യം ജയോ വിജയമേവ ച തദർത്ഥീകൃത കൃത്യമാം യദ്ധോ ബഹുവക്രാദാമധിക്രമം യസ്യേനയോദ്രോദണ്ഡോഭവത്ഭർമാനുമം പ്രദൈ സ ഏവാനുമതോ സ്മാഭിർമനയോ ദേവഹേളനാൽ തദ്വസാദയാമ്യദ്യ ഭ്രമദേവ ബ്രഹ്മഹിമേ തദ്ധീത്യാത്മതന്ദന്യേ യൽസും യൽസുഭും വിരസവൽക്രദാഃ എന്നാമാനിജഗൃഹ്ണാദീലോകോ വൃത്തിയേക്കൃതാഗസി സോതുവാസ്തൽക്കീർത്തിം ഹന്തി ത്വജമിവാമയാം യസ്യാമൃതാമലേശ ശ്രവണാവഗഃ സദ്യപുനാദിജഗദാശുഭജാദ്വിഗുണ്ട ശ്വേതാതൃതൃതമദൻഹുതമുഖേന യൽ ബ്രഹ്മണസ്യ മുഖരശ്ചരദോനുഖാസം തുഷ്ടസ്യ മയ്യവഹിതേർ നിജകർമ്മവാഗൈം യേഷാംഖണ്ഡവികുണ്ഠയോഗം മായാവിഭൂതിരമലാന്തിരജകിരീടൈ വിപ്രാംസ്തു ഓന്ന വിഷഹേദയദർഹണാം സദ്യപുനാദിസഹചന്ദ്രലലാമലോകാൻ യേമേതനോദ്വിജവരാൻ ദുഃഖതീർമദീയാം ഭൂതാനിരദ്ധശരണാനി ച വേദബുദ്ധ്യാഃ ദ്രക്ഷന്ധകക്ഷതദൃശോ അഹിമന്യവസ്ഥാൻ ഗ്രദ്ധാരുഷാ മമ കുശന്തതിദണ്ഡദേതൂം യേ ബ്രാഹ്മണാൻ മൈധിയാ ശിവദോർച്ചയന്ന തുഷ്യന്ദദാസ്മിതസുദോക്ഷയപത്മവക്ത്രാഃ വാണ്യാനുരാഗനയാത്മജവൽകൃണന്ദ സംബോധയന്തി ഹമിവാഹമുപാഹൃതസ്യൈഃ തസ്മേ സുഭർത്തുമവര അവസായമലക്ഷമാണോ ഉഷ്മദ്വിക്രമഗതിം പ്രതിപദ്യ സദ്യാഃ ഭൂയോമാന്തികമിതാം തദ്നിഗ്രഹോമേ യൽ കൽപദാമജരതോ ഹൃദയോർവിവാസാഃ ബ്രഹ്മോവാച അതവസ്വശതിം ദേവീം ഋഷിതുല്യാം സരസ്വതിം നാസ്വാദ്യമനിഷ്ഠാനാം കേശാം ആത്മാത്മതൃപ്യതാം സതിം വ്യാളായശം നന്ദോലഘ്വ്യം ഗുവർത്തഗഹരാം വിഗാഹ്യാഘാതഗംഭീരാം നവിദുശ്ചകീർഷിതം തേ യോഗമായ ആരാബ്ധം പരമേഷ്ടമഹോദയം പ്രോജു പ്രാഞ്ജലയോ വിപ്രാപ്രഹഷ്ടാ ക്ഷുഭിതത്വജാം ഋഷയോജോ നവയം ഭഗവൻ ഹിദ്വൽ നവയം ഭഗവൻ ഹിദ്മസ്തവദേവ ചകീർഷിതം കൃതോമേനുഗ്രഹശ്ചേതി യദധ്യക്ഷ പ്രഭാഷസേം ബ്രഹ്മണ്യസ്യ വരം ദൈവം ബ്രാഹ്മണ കില ദേ പ്രഭോ വിപ്രാണാം ദേവദൈവാനാം ഭഗവാനാത്മദൈവതം ത്വക്കസ്തനാദനോ ധർമ്മോ രക്ഷതേതനുഭിസ്തവ ധർമ്മസ്യ പരമോ ഗുഹ്യോ നിർവികാരോ ഭവാൻ മദാം തരന്തിഹ്യഞ്ച സാമത്യം നിവൃത്തായതനുഗ്രഹാൽ യോഗിനസ്സ ഭവാൻ കിംസിൽ അനുഗ്രഹേതയൽപരേ എം വൈ വിഭൂതിരുപയാത്തനിവേലമന്യേ അർത്ഥാത് വിശ്വസിരസാവൃതപാദരേണു ധന്യാർപ്പിത അംഗതുളസീ നവധാമധാമ്നോ ലോകം മധുപ്രതപേ ലോകം മധുപ്രതപദേ യുവകാമയാനാം യസ്വാമി വിത്തചരിതൈ അനുവർത്തമാനം നാത്യാദ്രിയൽ പരമഭാഗവത പ്രസംഗ സത്വം ദ്വിജാനുപത പുണ്യരജ പുനീത ശൈവത്സലക്ഷ്മ കിമകാ ഭഗവാഞ്ജനസ്ത്വം ധർമ്മസ്യ ദേ ഭഗവത സ്ത്രീവത്രിവിസ്വൈ പത്മിശ്ചരാചരമിതം വിജദേവദാർത്ഥം മൂനമൃതം തദഭിഗാതിരജസ്തമശ്ച സത്വേന നയോ വരലയാ തനുവാനിരസ്യാം നത്വം ദ്വിജോത്തമകുലം യതിഹാത്മഗോപം ഗോപ്താവൃഷാ സ്വർഹണേന സസൂ നൃതേന തർഹീവ നംഷതി ശിവസ്തവദേവ ബന്ധാലോകാഗ്രഹീഷ്യ ഋഷഭസഹിതൽ പ്രമാണം ശ്രീഭഗവാനുവാചാംഗതിംഭ്യസംരംഭസമാധുനിബദ്ധയോഗ ഭൂയസ്സകാശോപയാസ്യതമാശിയോവാശാപോയോനിമിതസ്തമദൈവവിപ്രാഹ ുരാപവാരിദ്വാരിയുഷന്നീമയുവാരദേം മയി സംരംഭയോഗേന നിസ്തീര്യാബ്രഹ്മഹേലനം പ്രത്യേഷ്യതം നികാശം മേ കാലേനാൽപീയസാ പുനാം ദ്വാസ്താവാദിഷ്യഭഗവാൻ വിമാനശ്രേണിഭൂഷണം സർവാതിശയാലക്ഷ്മ്യാദുഷ്ടം സ്വം ദുഷ്ടമാവിശൽ തൗതുങ്കീർവാണകൃഷമോ ദുസ്തരാധരിലോകത ഹതശ്രിയോ ബ്രഹ്മശാപാദഭൂതം വികലസ്മയം ഹാർത്താഹ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതീ മഹാപുരാണേ തൃതീയ സ്കന്ധേ ഷോഡശോധ്യായാം സപ്തദശോധ്യായ മൈത്രേയ ഉവാച നിശമ്യാത്മഉവാഗീതം കാരണം നിശങ്കയോജ്ജിത തതസർവേ നിവർത്തന്താ പ്രതിവായ ദിവോഗസ ദിദിസ്തു സ്ഥിരഭർത്തുരാദേശം അവത്യപരിശങ്കിനി പൂർണേ വർഷശതേ സ്വാധ്വീ പുത്രോ പ്രസുഷുമേ യമോ ഉൽപാദാവഹമസ്തത്ര നിവേദുർജായമാനയോ ദിവി ഭൂവ്യന്തരീക്ഷേ ചാലോകസ്യോരുപയാവഹ സഹജലാഭവശ്ചേലോഗ്യശസർവാ പ്രജ്വലും ശുക്രോശ്രമണാവാദ്യുക്ഷുവിതോദരാഹോശിസൂര്യയോ ബ്രഹ്മപുത്രാന്തേഭീതേനിരേവിശ്വസംഭവം തവാദിദൈത്യോ സഹസോ വ്യജ്യനാത്മവ്യജ്യമാനാത്മപൗരുഷോ വപുർധാദേശ്മസാരേണ കായേനാദ്രീവലീമിവാം ദിവിസ്പൃശോ ഹേമകീടകോടിവിർ നിരുദ്ധാഷ്ടോ സ്ഫുരനംഗദാഭുജം ഗാം കമ്പയന്തോ ചരണൈ പദേ പദേ കട്യാ സുഗജ്യാർക്കമതീതസ്തോ പ്രജാപതിർനാമദയോരകാർഷി ദ്യപ്രാക്സുദേഹാദ്യമയോരജായന തമ്മൈ ഹിരണ്യകശിപം വിദു പ്രജാ യം തം ഹിരണ്യകശിപുർദോഭ്യാംഭ്രമവരേണജാവശേഷബാലാംലോകാംശ്രീനകുതോമൃത്യുവിരുദ്ധതാംഹിരണ്യാക്ഷോനിജസ്തസ്യാ പ്രിയപ്രീതികൃതന്വഹം ഗദാബാണിർദിവം ജ്ഞാനമിവൽ സ്വർമഗയൻ രണം തം വീക്ഷ്യതു സഹജമം രണൽക്കാഞ്ചനനൂപുരം വചയന്യാസജാദൃഷ്ടം അസംന്യസ്തമഹാഗതം മനോവീര്യവരോത്സിക്തം അസ്രണ്യമകുതോഭയം വീതാനിരല്യരേ ദേവാ സാക്ഷ്യത്രസ്തവിവാഹയാ സവൈദേഹിതാന്ദൃഷ്ട്വാ മാസാസേന ദൈത്യരാൾ ദൂരധരം പ്രദുദ്രുവോ സ വർഷഭൂഗാനുധതോ മഹാബലം ശരന്മഹോമി श्रीमद्भागवते महापुराणे तृतीय स्कन्धे हिरण्याक्ष द्विजये सप्तदशोऽध्यायः. सो इट्स नॉट फिनिशिंग देयर, आई हैव टू रीड 18 एंड 19 व्हिच आई विल डू इन द नेक्स्ट संडे and then we'll move on to the chapter 20. So all this is the story of Hiranyaksha and Varaha in a very nutshell, because in all these prayers by the sages to Varaha, they have expressed a lot of their appreciation of Krishna coming down to appear as Lord Varaha and to protect from protect the earth from Hiranyaksha and to establish Swayambhu Manu's administration in this planet. So that was the purpose of the Varaha's appearance.
You mentioned that Lord Varaha
just 1 second
delivered the death blow to Hiranyaksha, and I was wondering, what was that the only hit Lord Varaha did to
just
Hiranyaksha, or was there a few like preliminary, you know, blows, you know, a bit of a fight that took place?
No, you mean when they fought each other?
Yeah. Was it just one hit from Lord Varaha?
Varaha didn't. Varaha was fighting with Hiranyaksha. So first it started with verbally the fight. Hiranyaksha claiming the earthly planet as his. He is the proprietor of the earthly planet. And Varaha explained to him that it is mine. Varaha mentioned to Hiranyaksha. And that argument started and it developed into fight. The fight happened. They both fought very vigorously for some time. Very vigorously they fought. And that description is there in the Bhagavatam. You can read Prabhupada's translated
I
much.
I remember reading the weapon fell out of
A lot of things happened in that fight. But Varaha was punched by Hiranyaksha very strongly, which he remembered very well. And in the end, that it was when Varaha decided to finish up Hiranyaksha, the last thing he did was smacked him on his back of his ears. Karena karna mulehan, it says in the Bhagavatam, that with that he lost his consciousness and he turned around and fell on the floor and died. Because this sages and Brahma who were present there, seeing this fight between the between Lord Varaha and Hiranyaksha, they were thinking that this fight cannot go on for too long a time, because they did fight for some time and they were observing that. So they were praying at that time to Varaha to protect this earth from, if Hiranyaksha is not killed. They were getting into a bit of anxiety about it. And that's then that Varaha eventually acted like that. That is, yes, you know that, remember I mentioned this before, that Krishna wanted to fight. When he wanted to fight, he sent these two men here to take that spirit, have that spirit and ready to fight. That is how Hiranyaksha and Hiranyavashibu came here, as you know, in the mention in the Bhagavatam also. So they have come for a specific purpose. The purpose was that when Mahavishnu, lying on the Adishesha, felt the need to have that, they wanted to satisfy his desire to fight, and that desire, nobody else could fulfill that. It has to be somebody from the Vaikuntha planet only who could do that. An ordinary I mean, and if you call them to fight, they would not fight because they will, as devotees they are, they couldn't act in the proper mood to fight. So to create that fighting nature in them, they had to be cursed by the Kumaras, they had to be thrown out of Vaikuntha, they had to come here and accept this demonic body. Not only demonic body, they also had the specific pastime here, where the Hiranyakashipu's consciousness was so much inimical to Krishna. He considered Krishna, the Supreme Lord, as his number one enemy. And Mayavim Vishnu, it says there, because in the fight each other, they both used a lot of their illusory power, both Hiranyaksha and Varahamurti. Both of them using their illusions in their fight. Some of the things when they fought each other is not possible to understand how, because the power of Maya is so strong, and if you know how to manipulate Maya in your fighting with others, then you can win that war, and that is Krishna's specific potency which nobody else has. So when Vishnu was presenting the Maya, Maya's, that is why he is known as Akadina Gadana Patiyasi Maya. That means it's only he knows how to manipulate Maya, nobody else. So Krishna was able to do that, and with the result was that eventually our Hiranyaksha had to give away. But Krishna enjoyed that fight.
Generally we hear the four Kumaras only doesn't want to marry and attain spiritual perfection. But you say
there are others as well. Mariji, Atri, Angirasa, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu. There's a list of sages who do not want to get any household life. Then the Saptarishis, Vasishta and all that, they didn't want to get in household life. So many personalities who were before Swayambhu Manu did not get involved in household life. They were Brahmanishtas or Jnanamishtas. They were fixed in the absolute truth.
This Manu's descendant is that Manu which Krishna mentions in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. Svayambhu Manu is the first Manu. The Manu what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita is Vaivastuka Manu, which is different from Svayambhu Manu.
Later.
Yeah, much later. It's the seventh is Vaivastuka, and eighth is Vaivastuka Manu, and Svayambhu Manu is the first Manu. So we had six, seven Manus in between Svayambhu Manu and Vaivastuka Manu.
Lord Brahma asked my dear Lord, he said, let's finish this fight, didn't he? He said, it was right at the end. What was his motive behind that? I can't quite remember.
Who?
Lord Brahma.
Yeah.
He says,
Brahma's getting into anxiety about it.
Yeah.
Because he is also a little bit responsible for this whole thing. That Hiranyaksha was performing penances and acquired strength from that. And like in the case of Hiranyakashipu, which was given directly by Brahma, the powers to so many powers he is given. Similarly, Hiranyaksha also, through penances, acquired a lot of power into fight. And Brahma was getting concerned because this is the first time it happens in his regime, Brahma's regime. So naturally, you'll be more concerned. Once you get used to it after a while, you can take it, isn't it? But it is the first time that somebody has come up like this, and Brahma was not sure what all problems he was going to create later. So he wanted, he was praying to Varaha that he should now finish up this business of this thing. That's the way Krishna's pastimes are. Mm-hmm. Alright, 7 o'clock, we'll stop there. All glory, Srila Prabhupada.
Yes,
Last Sunday,